Our scripture this morning comes from Psalm 7, verses 2 through 7. I will open my mouth with a proverb. I'll declare riddles from days long gone, ones that we've heard and learned about, ones that our ancestors told us. We won't hide them from their descendants. We will tell them to the next generation, all about the praise due the Lord and his strength, the wondrous works God has done. He established a law for Jacob and set up instruction for Israel, ordering our ancestors to teach them to their children. This is so that the next generation and the children not yet born will know these things, and so they can rise up and tell their children to put their hope in God, never forgetting God's deeds, but keeping God's commandments. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. One of the oldest forms of communication is storytelling. We love growing up hearing stories. We learn to tell stories ourselves. Stories are a part of our life. I joke with Neil sometimes that he has about 10 good stories. And so when we meet new people, it's lots of fun because he gets to tell his 10 stories again. So it's really convenient that we move often in our life because then we get to tell our stories again. Can't wait until I get old because I'm looking forward to that, because when I get older and he has his stories to tell me, I will have forgotten them and he will be able to tell me the stories and get all the joy out of that again, and I will be surprised every time at the ending. This is what we plan to do when we are old, to sit around and tell stories. The stories are intricate to our faith. They're so much a part of who we are as God's people. As followers of Christ, we have been grafted into the Hebrew people, into the Jewish faith, which is a storytelling people. They tell the stories throughout time, and they mark time by telling stories. For example, every year, the Passover is exactly the same story, told exactly the same time to remind the people that they are God's people, that God delivered them and heard their cry and provided for them. The power of story is incredible in our life. The scripture this morning in verse 6 and 7, it says, So this is so that the next generation and the children not yet born will know these things, and so that they can rise up and tell their children to put their hope in God, never forgetting God's deeds, but keeping God's commandments. So God's beautiful story is a story of creation and redemption, of faithfulness and of love. It is a story that we are responsible to tell. We are not only just to know the story of God and to know how we are part of the story of God, but it's our responsibility to tell others, to make sure that we are teaching our children, not just the ones that we have, our children, but the ones that we have in the church. It is our responsibility as followers of Christ to make sure that this beautiful story is passed from generation to generation. It is not just something that we do when we have young children in our life. It's not just something that we grow out of by the time we're 45 or 50 years old. But it is a responsibility that is a lifelong commitment of followers of Christ to be able to teach a new generation the beautiful stories of God. Not just as warm bodies, but as people who are passionate, who care about telling these stories over and over again, so that others will come to know the amazing and beautiful love of God. Jesus was a masterful storyteller. In fact, we're still reading his stories and gleaning from the beautiful parables that Jesus gave to us. The layers are beautiful and intricate and speak throughout all time. Jesus was an incredible storyteller. And to be followers of Christ, we have to understand that and embrace that and pass it along for generations to come. But there's a second part to this. It's not just God's story that we read. It's not just knowing the scripture and being able to tell it. It's about our story. And our story begins in God's story. God knit us together in our mother's womb. God knows the hairs on our head, which for me are ever changing. God knows us completely and loves us fully. And in the midst of that, we have our own stories. Some that we like to tell, some that we kind of don't like to tell quite as much. We choose what parts we're willing to share, not only with others, but also with God. Suzanne and Justin and I were sitting in my office this week, and we were talking about some things that we've been reading as a congregation. If you happen to read Brené Brown's book, then this is going to sound very familiar to you. But we were talking about, do we tell our stories well? How do we do with being vulnerable? How do we do with saying the deep ways in which we feel and sharing that with the people around us? And we kind of thought, I don't know that we really do that well. Not so much just here at Forest Hill, but I don't think we really do that well in the world, because you have to risk something to do that. In order to really tell your story, in order to put yourself out there, you risk something. You risk the person sitting across the table from you looking at you and saying, I don't understand, or judging you, or not loving you as much if they really knew all about you. And we do this in the world, and what happens is when we're not honest and when we're not open and when we're not really engaging who we are, we're not living fully. We're not living a genuine life. One of the most important things that I've realized in my life, which, full disclosure, I went to therapy to learn this about myself, is that every piece of my life has made me who I am. I have made some really great decisions in life. It has influenced who I am. I have made some really poor decisions. It has influenced who I am. And if I would take any piece of that away, I would not be the same person that I am in this very moment. And I really love the person I am in this very moment. I'm not perfect, but I've come to understand that not only should I love myself, but that God loves me just as I am. And that is powerful. So when we embrace our story, we can begin to see where our story meets the story of God. And there are these sacred places, places that are like holy ground, where God meets us in the messiness of life. And oftentimes they are so sacred and so special and so beyond anything we can explain away that we just keep them to ourselves. Because we don't want anybody to think we're crazy. We don't want anybody to know our yuckiness, because that makes us feel vulnerable, and that feels pretty scary. So we just keep them to ourselves. Maybe you've never had these moments. But I'll tell you, I've had these moments. I remember the first time that I began to try to articulate what it was to be called into ministry. I can, even thinking back on it, I get like some anxiousness thinking about this very moment when I knew that God was calling me to do something, and I couldn't even use the word call, but I knew that I needed to say this out loud to somebody very important in my life. And I mean, I can tell you right now like where I was standing, what I was doing, and how incredibly nervous I was. I didn't want to say it out loud. I was afraid that person who was an important person in my life was going to look across from me and say, you've lost your mind. And so I said it. And then I didn't want to even say it again. I just wanted to pack it up and push it away. And I never was able to really use this word called until the church made me use that word. What is your call into ministry? And I would think, wow, that is a hard word, because now I'm going to say how God had revealed this to me, and what if I got it wrong, and what if somebody didn't think it was right? And I had all these places in my life that I felt like I couldn't claim very well. But the beautiful thing about going along my process is that other people gave me voice, and they helped me say those things, and they helped me learn something really important about the word called. God has gifted and graced us to do things incredible in the world. He's made us all differently. And so what God has done in the midst of that is he takes the way that he has created us and he asks us to use it. And when God asks us to use what God has given to us, that is our call. And so we are all called to do something because we are all gifted and graced and we are all expected through the power of God to do something. So my story, which I didn't want to use the words and I didn't want to give voice to it and I didn't want to expose myself and I didn't want to be vulnerable, it began to become a powerful story for me because it was transformed. When I spoke my story, when I owned my story, I was able to live into that in a powerful way. You see, I believe that there's this thing that happens to us. When we give voice to our story, when we share that with others, it affirms our faith journey and makes us stronger. Not only that, but the person that we're sharing this story with, they want to hear our story. Because most of us want to know how God works in each other's lives. Perhaps just so we know that we're not crazy. Because if God works that way in your life, if I can say to someone, this is the way that I felt when I realized God asked me to do something, and then you can look at them and say, oh my goodness, I've had that same feeling, then they are affirmed in their faith. So we are growing in our faith when we're stepping out and claiming it, and they're growing because now they see how somebody else experiences God. And God is glorified because you're bringing witness to what God is doing, that God is alive and well in the life of the believer. So there's this beautiful thing that comes out of that, but we got to stop and acknowledge something. This isn't easy. Who's like, yes, let me stand up and do it right now. Do I have anybody? Can I get a witness? Dead. Roger, this is your day. You were volunteering last week. I'll volunteer you this week. No, we don't want to do that, right? It's hard. I don't want the beautiful, pretty story that you tell people. I don't want the glossy thing that you feel comfortable standing up and saying. I'm saying I want the deep, hard messiness of your life meets God in a powerful way kind of story. And nobody really wants to do that because it's hard. It's risky. It's asking you to be vulnerable. It's asking you to somehow muster up some courage within you. So get out your list of excuses. We're going to go through them. My story doesn't matter. Wrong. Your story matters. Your story matters to me. Your story matters to the people sitting around you. And your story matters to God. Sorry, not going to take that excuse. I don't really have a story. Really. God's really not active in your life? No. I don't know where to start. Great, come see me. I'll sit down. We'll figure out where to start. This is important business that we try to make excuses about. Because honestly, it feels much more comfortable to have a great excuse why you don't have to share your story than it is to sit down and share your story and be vulnerable. It is hard. I know that what I am talking about, you are thinking, I cannot wait till she gets done. I am going to pack this up and I'm going to head out of here and I am going to lunch because I don't want to do this. But it is important work. It is something that we should be doing. We should be creating safe places where we can look at somebody and say, share your story. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to listen to it and I'm going to hear God in it. And I'm not going to judge you. I'm going to love you and I'm going to allow you to tell me the things that you need to say and you need to own. That's the place that we should be creating because we need to hear one another's stories. Story is just a part of community. It is a way we teach. It is the way that we proclaim how God works in our lives, in the mystery and in the grace that God has to offer us. It matters. It matters to the people around us. And when we fail to give it a voice, we have cheated ourselves, we have cheated the people in our community, and we have failed to witness to the glory of God. This is risky stuff. It's vulnerable and it's hard, but I believe with all of my heart that this is important. And you see, here's the thing. I'm not really alone in that, because the scripture says that. The scripture says this telling the story over and over again is important work that we do in the community. We tell stories. We tell the stories of faith pretty well. We're getting ready in Advent and Christmas to tell the birth of Christ. We come to hear on Easter morning the resurrection, but somehow we fail to talk about how that impacts our life in significant ways. We only tell parts of the story. So I believe that we should be brave and courageous, that we should find our voice and our story, and that we should share them in community. So I'm going to ask you, like I have asked other congregations in my past, tell your story. If you can't figure out what that is, come see me. Help me. Let me help you figure out your story, the one that you need to tell and the one that gives glory to God, because this is truly important work. Speak your story. Allow it to strengthen your faith journey. Allow it to fall on the ears of others who it will help them along their journey. And most importantly, speak your story, because it bears witness to how God is alive and well in these moments of our life. The scripture says in verse 4, "We don't hide them from their descendants. We'll tell the next generation all about the praise due to the Lord and his strength, the wondrous works God has done." Share your story. Bear witness to the God who loves you just as you are. And strengthen not only your faith, but the faith of those around you. Your story matters. Amen.